Well, Joe, having been a caddy and being a part of the Evans Scholars Foundation and the WGA for a while, it's got to be an exciting time for you to begin your term as chairman of the WGA.
Very humbling to be an alum, and you always want to give back, but ascend to this role is exciting. It's humbling, but I'm blessed that I have the chance to do it and that I have the time to do it and that I can, throw myself in, because every alum is so happy to want to give back. But, I've been able to be able to do it over the years and be effective, locally. We always say, you're a director, locally, but, regionally and nationally now is a big honor.
Well, I know that you take a lot of pride in golf and caddying. And, one of the things the WGA talked about to us in the media for a few years, they were sitting at 800 to 850 Evans Scholars in college, and the drive was on to get that number over 1,000, and that has now been accomplished. So is there another goal? Is there another mark that you'd like to hit as you keep and hopefully increasing that number of putting caddies in college?
Yeah, actually, there's a formal initiative called the 2030 Ambitions. We have 8 ambitions that we want to accomplish by 2030, and they involve not only growing the program, but increasing diversity and some different things there. That we want to be in 1,500. We want 1,500 Evans Scholars by 2030. That is something that we are raising every year, so we have to raise more money. We are doing our way to, we're almost to the point. It used to be that we loved any caddy that came to us, but we're being a lot more deliberate in trying to recruit caddies that kind of fit our mold of financially needy, academically strong, great caddy record. But we have 8 ambitions, which include 1,500 kids in school under a roof. We want everybody, and we've achieved that by 2018. We achieved having every Evans Scholar in a house, instead of having, some people living on a campus. So they all live in a community, which is, I think, the secret sauce to anything, which is living under a roof. We want to build not only a more diverse caddy population and recruit more women, more kids of color and everything to the caddy, but also do that at our staff headquarters. We want our directors to look a little bit more like our caddy, and not to use the bad words, but we were kind of an old, stodgy, white group of directors. And when you look around and we have all these kids of color and diversity now going to our schools, we said, we got to have that in our staff too. So that's a big part of our future. But we want to get one of our ambitions is to get all of our alumni, and this is a big passion of mine, to give back at 75%. And if you think of, normal colleges, they're excited if 15% of their alumni give back to them. And we're very proud that 55% give back right now, and it's growing because of that. And that's when we measure just Par Club. And everybody gives in different ways, but we want to get that to a 75%. And as we know that, right now we got $17 million from alumni last year. We know if we raise the percentage, it's still paying for a significant amount of our yearly thing. So we're almost, I would say by 2030, the amount of money that the alumni will bring in might be close to our $27 million that we currently pay out in tuition. So that's, something very important too. And we just want to also make sure we are graduating them at the percentage that we're doing right now, which is 95%. We'd like to grow that to 97%. And prepare them for their careers, which has been probably something that Kevin talked about. But it used to just be you caddied, and now we say, we take you from caddy to college and then careers. We're really beefing up what we do in school for the kids to prepare them for college, but also prepare them for their second jobs, which a lot of times comes from their network of alumni. But we know a much better graduate will be a much better giver and somebody that'll give back to the program.
Joe, do you feel the WGA is moving to be more of a nationwide organization? I mean, for years, all the Evans Scholars kind of went to these Midwest colleges. Most of them belong to the Big Ten. But now with people like Mike Kaiser and his involvement in Oregon and Bandon Dunes and out to the Northwest, and obviously he's been a great supporter of the WGA. And last year being at Caves Valley for Media Day, I heard the speeches there as they were trying to build an Evans Scholar House, I believe, at the University of Maryland, which is now part of the Big Ten. And it seems like the WGA movement and the Evans Scholars program is not just kind of a little Midwest thing anymore. It looks like it's almost going coast to coast.
Yeah, 100% correct, Rory. You're observing it. We're trying to be very promotional in that it is much more than a Midwest scholarship now. We are doing it nationally. And to get to 1,500 kids in school right now with 1,070, you know, to build this to where we have 1,500 kids in school in any year, we're going to need more houses, more colleges, and we have to find these kids from wherever they are. So you're probably familiar with the Caddy Academies that we have across the country. We just opened one in Seattle last year. We're opening one this year in Minneapolis. We're actually going to be in Columbus probably in 2 years, where we're trying to find kids that are not near a Caddy program. But at the same time, as you heard from me earlier, I had my first Evans Scholar from Kiwa Island Club, so second Evans Scholar ever from South Carolina. We're really going East Coast, Southeast, and West Coast. We had Evans Scholars from Las Vegas this year. We had our third Evans Scholar from Seminole. So some of these clubs that always had adult caddies were really pushing them to say, hey, introduce youth caddies into your club. It doesn't have to change the whole mix, but, you know, introducing youth caddies really makes it more diverse, but also gives us chances to go way more national. We just announced, Rory, that we have signed an agreement at Rutgers, so that'll be a new school. Probably in 6 months, you'll hear that we have signed an agreement with Iowa. We're looking at schools like UCLA wants us to come out there. Maryland, you know, is opening. They have two scholars there now. So we have a list of probably 10 universities like Villanova and other places that we are investigating right now. And also places like Howard, so that we can have a college possibly that will attract our diverse caddies that might say, hey, that's where I want to go. And so it really is, it's fascinating. It's wonderful to watch us spread and how much people, you know, love hearing about this program. And all these colleges have heard about it. Now they're excited to say, oh, we have one at our campus now too.
Well, the BMW Championship this year will be played in Delaware. Are there any thoughts on trying to make some inroads around Wilmington in that area?
Well, we are making inroads there. Have had kids from Wilmington get the scholarship, and we send them to Penn State, or now we could send them to Maryland. But we have had discussions with University of Delaware. I would say Jeff Harrison has had introductory conversations, but there's very much of an interest. Again, as we keep looking at these universities, when we talk to a university, of course they would love it, but we want where we can to get the most for our bang for our buck in terms of tuition assistance, the ability to send out-of-state students there and not, you know, pay a premium, have the university kind of partner with us to give us property so we can build a house or buy a house. And all the places that we talk to are all excited to do those things, like Maryland, where Caves Valley people are like, we want you at Maryland. We will find money to build a house, you know, and so the community almost recruits us to that place.
Well, one of the things that's happened in the last couple of years is the Women's Western Golf Association has kind of gotten back under the umbrella of the WGA. And your predecessor, Kevin Buggy from the Park Ridge Country Club, said that there was a list of initiatives on the table to sort of help upgrade their two championships, both the amateur and the Women's Western Junior Championship. And how much do you plan to try to continue any of those initiatives? initiatives that may have been started the last couple of years and continue to build up those championships. Kevin had hoped someday, he said that the women's amateur hopefully would, it's just as old, but it sort of needs some improvement to maybe get it to almost rival what's going on with the men.
Yeah, this is the women's, you know, it's a partnership, and it kind of came under our umbrella, but we partner with them, and we are trying with all of our power to upgrade those tournaments, because using our power in the golf world and across the country to upgrade these. And that includes where some of these sites are and getting them into different markets. It includes, you know, just upgrading the visibility of it, but not on, and then using our stuff. And, you know, this year, I believe, the contract to renew to continue partnering is up, and confident that we will go forward with them. But we want to, as much as we would love to take it over, we partner with them and try to help elevate them as much as possible. But by the same token, we are very much about women's golf diversity. You know, the championships, just like the scholarships, where 38% of our Evan scholars are women. You know, we're all about the power, and you know, we've been talking to the LPGA about, you know, having a taking a women's golf tournament, you know, as part of our thing too. You know, our friend, you know, we just have sat down with Mike Wan, who is a friend of mine. I played golf a lot with Mike early in his career, but you know, talking to the USGA to say, how can we elevate both organizations and open up opportunities for caddies, for women golfer, and our championships too. Like we right now, I just signed a letter for asking to make Marissa, using our power and our, you know, of the Western Golf Association, to say, hey, the woman's amateur champion should get invited to the Masters women's championship that they are trying to do. Or automatically, we've been pushing the USGA to say, how can we get all of our championships, if it's the Western women's amateur, they should get automatically invited into the US amateur, or automatic, you know. So those are some of the things that we're leveraging to help elevate these tournaments.
Joe, how important was it for, you know, the WGA to be able to just recently sign a 5-year extension with BMW as the prime sponsor for your PGA Tour event? I know the first year has been already announced. They're going to give Olympia Fields sort of we'll call it a mulligan, because unfortunately they put a lot of work into that event a couple years ago, and then it sort of got derailed due to the pandemic. But I know they're excited to get the tournament back, and I'm sure there's going to be 4 more years after that of exciting planning as to where the championship's going to go.
Yeah, it's well, and so your first question, how important is the BMW? Critical. They have been an incredible partner. I got the chance, like Kevin, when we were at Caves Valley, to meet the leadership. It was the first time that their leadership had come over and been at the golf tournament. And they loved it. Now, it helps that 6-hole playoff, probably in media views and everything else, I think one of the executives there joked that it paid for itself because of all the media coverage of that 6-hole playoff. But they have been so critical to our growth. They're donating more money back to the organization. But if you think about it, Rory, it will now be 20 years that they have been the sponsor of this golf tournament. And in this day and age, there's not many PGA Tour stops that have the same sponsor for that long. So just the name recognition, the prestige that BMW brings to us, but they are a fantastic partner to the Western Golf Association. So to sign them for 5 more years in something that they had to look at it, and I know they, as a corporation, you know, confidentially, some of them that looked at it said, oh, we're probably not going to be in the golf business anymore. But their CEO said, no. I mean, their new CEO said, absolutely, we are going to be involved. And so they've been just a fantastic partner now going on 20 years. or it will be 20 years by the end of this contract.
What do you know about some of the sites this year for both the Women's Western two tournaments and also the Western Am and the Western Junior in 2022?
In terms of what do I know about them?
Yeah, have you been to any of those clubs? Are you familiar with the sites? Obviously, all of them have some great Chicago area golf courses that will be hosting those events in 22.
Somewhat familiar with them in terms of being there. I have not been to Prestwick. I will be at all of them, but Exmoor, I have some friends, so I'm very familiar with that golf course in terms of just the prestige, the long-term commitment that they've been in to the Western and to the Evans Scholars. So actually, a person who was my WGA director growing up in Dayton, Ohio, his daughter became a director at Exmoor. You know, years later, he's passed away. She's a couple years older than me, but she goes, I live on the grounds. You're staying at my house when you come to Exmoor, you know, for the tournament. I'm like, oh, good. And so I know I have free rent in Chicago right now. So that's good.
always a good thing. Well, you know what they're going to have to do?
Love Olympia Fields. I've played Olympia Fields a number of times, and that is just a great track. And they are excited. I know some of the directors there and some of the people that when they ran the tournament there, and they are really excited to bring it back and show it off and have fans there. Cause that was so sad to have that great golf tournament, and nobody could ever figure how to top Rahm beating Dustin Johnson, but Cage Valley did. To have people there will be special again.
I'm sure it will be. Well, you know what? If you need a place to stay in Chicago, you ought to work on. Maybe you could put another story on that fantastic new office building in Glenview and get some overnight rooms in there. But have you been to the new office facility over there in the Glen? And what has that done for the organization? Just being able to maybe streamline some things by getting all the different departments of the WGA under one roof.
Rory, it is. I was talking to Cass about it. Yes, I've been in the building a number of times. My name as an alumni is etched on the window there, so it's very proud. And I love going to Chicago. I stay at the Glen just because that is such a great hotel, great spot. And so I love staying there. But the building, putting everybody under one roof, has, I believe, has been transformative. In the old building, go back to my early days as a director, really go back to when I was an Evans Scholar, you know, a little building in Gulf, Illinois, and we always were a grassroots organization. So what John Kaskowski has done as CEO has been transformative. I don't want to keep using that word, but he's built the organization, put a lot of people on payroll, if you want to call it, but in strategic spots. And, you know, what it's done is gone from a sleepy organization to a national organization that is raising incredible amounts of money, right? And $27 million a year in tuition. And so it is one of those things that then putting them all under one roof, because we're in so many different spots when we busted at the seams, I've seen it work already where somebody will walk down the hall and say, hey, in Cincinnati, there's a foundation that wants to give us a little bit of money. And somebody from another thing from the golf side might say, hey, I know a director that, you know, knows that person. And next thing you know, you have collaboration that has been able to happen in one building. So that, from a staffing standpoint, has been great. You know, just one big place to call your home, having a big office there. We just had our December board meeting there, and to have, you know, a room there where they've already done 3 or 4 days of interviews right there instead of having to do them downtown in a hotel or wherever for Chicago area places. When some of the country clubs are closed, you can have them right there in the office. So it's really a cool space.
You know, every once in a while somebody steps into a job and they say you got big shoes to fill. And in this case, you do have some big spikes to fill. Did Kevin Buggy give you any advice on stepping into this role? Kevin did a wonderful job the last couple of years. And I was just wondering if he passed any tips down to you.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, I was the vice chairman for 2 years under Kevin. So we worked a lot together over the last 2 years, like at different tournaments, one of the traditions that I want to say Frank Morley or Dave Robinson started years ago is the vice chairman and the chairman do all the registrations for the Western Am, the BMW, and virtually at all the other tournaments we show up and we work them or whatever. We don't have to do the registrations. But, yeah, Kevin is quite a guy, incredible leader. I cannot imagine doing what he did for 2 years during this pandemic. He just did an incredible job holding together, and actually we thrived during that thing. So to grow money, scholarships, keep the kids in school, the grade point went up, all those things during this pandemic is in no small part to his leadership. So yeah, he's jokingly told me a number of things. We've laughed on a couple of ways, but like, unfortunately, I'm starting to live exactly what he did. We had 27 interviews over the last 2 days in Ohio. So all the sitting in front of a Zoom is not the easiest thing to interview. But Kevin did it to literally 300 kids last year during a pandemic. And I'm hoping that this COVID gets over quickly so we can get on the road and meet people and thank donors and do all that stuff. But Kevin did a wonderful job, and he's still involved. He gets to be the head of the board of trustees now, which, you know, is more of an emeritus role, but we probably talk every 2 weeks just on different things.
What was maybe, if there was one thing you took away from your experience as being a caddy and being an Evans Scholar, and when you were doing that back then, did you ever think you'd end up in a role with the WGA like you now have?
No, I don't think I ever thought big enough that when I was caddying, you know, when I was caddying, I was the fourth of five boys to, you know, I had three other brothers that got the Evans Scholarship, and so I was number four. So, yes, I knew I wanted to be an Evans Scholar, and that was very much of a goal of my family because I probably wouldn't have been able to go to college without it. So dreaming to be an Evans Scholar was great. When I was an Evans Scholar, I saw the WGA directors in a small role. You know, they would visit our house, and there was only a couple of them back in the 80s, you know, in Ohio. We've grown it now that there's so much more. And it was back then, the WGA, it was a little bit more, you know, as I said, grassroots. But now we look and say, you know, if somebody's a WGA director and passionate at a club and influential, you know, across golf and can find us ways, you know, we're looking to grow this organization. So I gave back because I like to say everything in life and business started with that Evans Scholarship that I got awarded, sent me to a great university, put me with great people that are friends of mine to this day. But so I gave back, and through leadership, through different things, how I'm driven and how I tend to raise my hand on things, I've worked my way up. It was never a goal to be the chairman. That's why I'm humbled that the board chose me to lead it for 2 years, because there is so many talented, successful people that can make an impact across the country. And we're just, and you know, my job is to turn around to all those literally 1,000 directors and figure out how to leverage them to push this organization even higher. So I'm humbled by the opportunity that the board of trustees chose me to do that. And I will do everything and travel everywhere to fulfill that responsibility and that honor.
Well, Joe, congratulations again on the appointment, and we'll look forward to seeing you here in 2022 at some WGA and WWGA events, and best success while you're holding down the position of chairman of the Western Golf Association.
Rory, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for all you do for this organization. That's why I said I'm familiar with your work, because you've written and spoken a ton for our organization, so I appreciate it.